Let me pray first. Heavenly Father, I need to be able to share this in a way that each and everybody can get what they need to hear, that they can understand it, they can receive it, and they can use it in their daily lives. Lord, you know all about us. You know about everybody here. You know what we went through this week. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just speak to each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have been a Christian for any length of time, you probably have discovered that there are some commandments in the Bible that are easier to obey than others. Many things, many factors come into play. Sometimes it's our personality. Sometimes it's previous habits we've had before we got saved. Maybe perhaps it's areas of personal weakness that we have in our lives, and all of us have those areas of weakness. Sometimes it's a problem of just a plain lack of understanding or how to obey a particular command. In some places in Scripture, it's very direct and straightforward. There doesn't need to be any explanation. The example would be that we could use in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. I think that's pretty clear. That doesn't need a whole lot of explanation, does it? There's lots of places in the Scripture where we hear those commands, and they're easier to follow. They're easier to understand. There's other verses that also can give clear commands, but sometimes there's a few specific things that we know maybe are not quite sure how to do it or what to do, and I'll give you an instance there. Is Ephesians chapter 5:18. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Well, okay. Some of us might know what that means. Maybe there's other ones that don't. We have to look at the text in order where that is written. Sometimes we have to search other passages of scriptures that will help us to do this, to help us to know how to do this. Being filled with the Spirit. You know, it's when we're all here on a Sunday and we're talking about good things, we're talking about God's word, we're giving testimonies that are encouraging. We pray for one another, we pray for healing. These are all wonderful and good things. And then we get out into the world, or we get out next week and pretty soon somebody cuts you off in the highway. I know Jess says, have a good day. Other of you might have something else to say. Or whatever happens throughout the week, some of it leaks out. It leaks out. It leaks out. Because sometimes, maybe you're not praying like you should. Maybe you're not reading your Bible like you should. Maybe there's a lot of things that you have neglected. Do you know that 7 days without prayer makes one week? W-E-E-K and W-E-A-K makes you weak. So there's lots of things you can do to help with that. But if you're not doing any of that, then a little more leaks out. And by the time Sunday comes around, you're ready for Sunday. You're truly ready for Sunday. You need an uplift. You need an encouragement. You need words of encouragement. And so that's just a little bit on that. And then we have the example that I read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, many of us know what Paul was saying, but sometimes we're just not sure how we can possibly do this. Maybe if it was said this way, in good things, give thanks. That'd be easier to understand, wouldn't it? In good things, give thanks. But everything? Whew. We got to study that a little deeper. Have to study that. That's what I want to share with you today. I want to try to make that clear. We're coming up. This is Thanksgiving week. You're going to be gathering with your family and your friends, and you're going to have a meal together and get to talking to one another. And I'll give you some words of wisdom. Stay out of politics. Don't do that. Because I know if there's one thing that can divide a family, it's politics. And the Bible is very clear. In the last days, son will be turned against the father against the son, the mother against the daughter, And guess what can do that? Politics. Keep your mouth shut and enjoy your company. Enjoy your family. Everybody has a right to their opinion. So talk about things that really matter, because politics, that's just here. That comes and goes. And everybody gets startled about that, but just word of wisdom, talk about family things. Catch up. You know what I call catch up? I'm not talking about the stuff on the hot dog. I mean, catch up with things. Unfortunately, we'll share this week, I had four funerals. Families don't get together like they should. But you know, when there's a funeral, you get together. And then you do a thing what we call catch up. You talk, you share. You share about things. Things, you know, how's the family doing, you know? And this is what we're talking about. So this week when you gather together, play catch up. Share about good things, about the family. A couple hugs would be good. That would work. So if it really did say good things and good things give thanks, we'd know exactly how to obey that. And that would make perfect sense, wouldn't it? But when we consider this phrase in everything, well, then we begin to think about this a little bit and begin to question it. Is gratitude even possible? Is it even possible in all things? In life, we have many painful experiences. We have loss of loved ones. We have financial concerns. Do we have enough money to pay the bills this week? Illnesses, natural disasters, accidents, broken marriages. This is just some of these possibilities I'm mentioning. There's many, many more. How in the world are we supposed to thank God in the midst of all these? This is what I want to try to talk about. In all things, Paul, I want to give you some keys on how you can be thankful in everything. We may not be able to find it right here in this immediate context of where this is written in this particular passage, but we can look other places in the scripture and we can find some keys so that we can better handle life's problems. Everything that we're going to deal with in life can be found in the Bible. The Bible is a revelation of God. It is his redemption of mankind. We will be robbed of a blessing if we would treat it anywhere else in order to get the blessing that God desires and wants. We need to study his word, and not just this particular passage of where this scripture comes from, but in all things give thanks. Now I want to give you some reasons as to why you can do that. The first truth we should understand is that God is sovereign. Does anybody know what sovereign means? Does anybody have an idea what the word sovereign means? It means that he is a supreme ruler, or the ultimate power. There is no greater power. There is no greater ruler. God is sovereign. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is sovereign. In the Bible, in the book of Daniel, we're told that Nebuchadnezzar had a place called Babylon. It was the most beautiful city in all the ancient world. It was the finest. It had 14 miles of wall around the city. The wall was 136 feet wide. At the top of the wall, several chariots. I'm trying to remember how many chariots you could put side by side. I'm thinking there was five or six chariots you could put side by side, and they could race on the top of the wall of Babylon. This place was magnificent. King Nebuchadnezzar made a place in the city of the Hanging Gardens, known as the Hanging Gardens. It was to his wife, for her, because she was homesick of her home area. And her home area was luscious and full of gardens. And so he brought the gardens to Babylon. And he made a beautiful place in Babylon for his wife, called the Hanging Gardens, one of the seven wonders of the world. This was a beautiful city. Probably the second city to that would be Nineveh, but Babylon was the greatest and splendid city in the ancient world. And archaeologists have found it. They have measured the wall. That's why I had the dimensions I just gave to you. They found it. Of course, it's in ruins today, this great, marvelous city. There were 570 some pictures of bulls and dragons made out of enamelized pictures that actually is equivalent to our ceramic tile. The Ishkar Gate is one of the exhibits you can see in the British Museum. But anyway, this was a magnificent city, and the king Nebuchadnezzar was the king of it, and he just thought he wanted to receive all the credit. He walked out and looked at his beautiful city, and that was the words that I read to you, that this was his words. I did it. It was by my might. It was by my power. This is my great city. And the Lord had to show him that he is king. He is the supreme ruler, not Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he was a pagan king. He had to learn the hard way. 7 years of insanity that he went out and ate like an ox. His fingernails grew like the claws of an eagle. His fingernails grew, the hair in his body grew. He looked more like an animal than he did a king. And after 7 years, he raised his eyes toward heaven and he praised the Most High God. He does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, that no one can ward off his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Daniel 4:35. We don't have to look around at our circumstances and think sometimes that we are helpless victims of our fate or evil. I can tell you that every event and situation that comes our way has to go through the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. We may not always understand what He is doing, but we can find peace in knowing that He is in control. The politicians are not in control. God is in control. He is in control. The second thing I want you to remember is that God is always good. He is always good. Without this attribute, we would be able to find no comfort in God's sovereign control. How would we be able to find comfort if we didn't have this? God is always good. Now, we aren't always sure of his motives. Oh, there's so many times that I got upset with the Lord, got angry with him, only to find out that, of course, I was the one that was wrong. I was impatient. I couldn't wait for God to do it. So I went ahead and tried to fix it myself. And oh, what a mess. What a mess. You got to let go and let God have his way. God's in control, not you. You got to step back and let him do these things. You got children that aren't serving the Lord? Let me ask you this. Did you raise them in a church? Did you raise them in Sunday school? When they were little, did you raise them in church? Yes, I did. Where are they at today? Well, they're not serving the Lord. But you got this promise that if you raise them when they're a child, they'll not depart from it. Well, but Pastor, they seemingly departed today. They're just on a detour. They didn't actually depart. They're on a detour. You ever been on a detour? You understand what I'm saying when I say a detour? You see, they're still on the path, but they've chosen another direction, but they're still wanting to go the same direction. Eventually, they'll come back. And you have that promise from the Lord. And you need to be reminding the Lord of that promise. Lord, you promised me that my children would always serve you. And remind the Lord of that promise. And then you need to rest on that, because God's always good. He'll let them experiment and go through things in their life. And you know what? They'll learn. And they'll learn quicker and better than anything you could teach them. They'll learn it, because when they learn it from God, they'll learn it. So God is always, always good. We never have to fear, because we are under his almighty control. And he is eternally good, and he does good. And I will read that from the book of Psalms 119. 68, it says, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Thirdly, God is always working everything for, what's the word? Good. God is always working everything for good. And what do you think the scriptures I'm going to use next? Romans, I heard it. Chapter 8. Yes, that's right. God is always working everything for good to those who belong to him. Romans 8:28. There's times we experience circumstances that are not good, not in themselves. The Lord skillfully weaves those dark threads of life together. Anybody here, you do quilting? You know there's background colors that aren't so cheerful. They're called background or backdrop. Those are the dark times in our life. And you know what? Without that, it wouldn't make this beautiful picture. Do you understand what I'm saying? Without those dark threads that sometimes are very difficult, we wouldn't have this beautiful picture. Those are the times it's awful difficult to give thanks. But you see, the goal that the Lord is working toward in our lives is revealed in that very next verse, verse 29. He also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. And so any painful or difficult experience, even sometimes those that are caused by our own sinful rebellion, it can be used by the Lord for our spiritual growth and the development of godliness. That's why Christians should be the happiest people in the world. Because when you make a mistake, you choose the wrong thing, God simply turns it into good. Are you with me? How many of you are with me? Wave at me. Anything that you do, any wrong decision you make, God turns it into good. Anything. Any sin. Remember what Paul said? I am the chiefest of sinners. I'm the worst one. I killed Christians. I persecuted them. I killed them. I went after and I killed Christians. I'm the worst sinner there ever was. But look what God did with him. Wow, how precious. Bible's so full of things that God made good. Remember Joseph's brothers? They threw him in a pit. They were jealous of him. You know why they were jealous? I have one reason I know that, yeah, they were jealous. What did Joseph's mother make for him every year? A pretty coat. I sure hope she made it for the other ones. But we're not told that she did. Now, that's a good way to get jealousy stirred up in a family. Now, if you got four kids and you make one kid a beautiful coat and the rest you don't do, whew, hello, where was your mind at? I could help you out with that a little bit. I don't know if that happened. I'm sorry. I don't know. But I know one thing. He was a dreamer, and he was probably one of those guys that was always talking about his dreams, and then he shared them with his brothers yet. Boy, if that didn't get them, that pushed their buttons. You know, I had a dream that you boys are all going to be bowing down to me. Yep, I'm the big boy. I'm the big brother. You guys are nothing. Whew. No wonder you got thrown in a pit. Hello? He got thrown in a pit. Ended up in Egypt. Ended up in prison. Ended up being a big ruler in Egypt. And during the time of famine, his family came and he was able to spare his family. God made good out of everything. You know what he said to his brothers? You meant it on to me for evil, but he meant it on to me for good. You'd meant it to evil, but God made it for good. So many places in the scripture, God made good come out of it. Paul and Silas put in jail for preaching. They were put in shackles, they were put in jail. And at midnight, what were they doing? Complaining that they were in jail. What were they doing at midnight? They were singing. They were singing. At midnight, they were singing. And an earthquake happened. The doors came open. And their chains and shackles fell from their body. And the jailer took a sword out and was going to kill himself because he saw the jail doors were open. And he was responsible for them people. And he thought that they had all escaped when he saw the doors open. And he was going to take his life. And Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. What? You're all here? The doors are open? Yeah, we're all here. You know what the jailer said? He fell down at Paul's feet and said, I want to know what I need to do to get saved. Anybody can sing at midnight. I'm interested. I want to know what you got because I want it. He fell at his feet and wanted to know how he could be saved in the same hour. He went home and gave him something to eat. He baptized the family and they all went back to jail. That's what the scripture says. Read it for yourself. When they were all done, the jailer got saved and they all went back to jail. Probably pulled the door shut. Hey. And you know what? It was the next day they got released anyway. That's what the truckers do with a horn, but this is what we do when we make a goal. See, God is always what? Say it again. God is always good. He's always good. And so we give thanks to him in everything. Because gratitude is not dependent upon good circumstances. But it's based on our confidence and trust in the Lord. And in his many promises in the word of God. It is the evidence of submission to him and dependence upon him. And of course, the end result is peace. And peace transcends comprehension. There's sometimes things that we don't understand that happens in this life and in my life. Things I don't understand. But I am okay because God is what? Good. A relationship I have with my Lord, it's steady and unwavering. And you know what? It serves as a powerful witness. And that will influence those who are around you. People are watching your lives. Do you know that? They're watching you. They're watching how you respond. And because you're a child of God, he is with you. In whatever situation you are facing today, you may not be able to see the good that he's working at the moment. But let me ask you this. Can you trust that he is? Can you trust that he is? That most priceless good that he brings, it comes in eternity and gives us the gratitude that we can have in every situation. We can be thankful today for the salvation of our souls. Are you saved today? I trust that you are. If you're not, ask him to forgive you of your sins and invite him to come and live in your heart. I'm grateful today to be saved. I'm grateful that I was raised in a Christian home. He has unimaginable blessings that await for us in heaven. The half has not yet been told. So let's be faithful. And let's thank him today. Would you all stand? I pray that you all have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving as you gather with your family and your friends. And you know, maybe God will use your witness of your gratitude in everything so that you can touch the lives of those that are around you. Because there are many around us who are struggling with hardships, loss, or pain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message that you've laid on my heart today. It spoke to my heart. Lord, I want to be a witness to those around me of your goodness, that you are truly good. And Lord, you've given me the peace that passes all understanding. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. For Lord, I know that you hold tomorrow in your hands. I don't need to be worrying about death because I've given you my life and my soul. So I'm not afraid to die. For me, sudden death is sudden glory. Father, and I pray that everyone out here today would be able to say that. Sudden death, sudden glory. If you're not, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And I invite you to come and live in my heart. And I want to live for you from this day forward. If you can say that, it can make a big difference in your life. It'll make a big difference in your life. And you can be so happy because God is always good. And he always has your good in mind. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity I've had today to share your precious word. It's time to go home, be with each and every one, and give them safe traveling mercies to their home till we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.